Well, you better recognize that's Justin Bieber on Canada Day, for goodness sakes. Canadian artist who dominates the world. I wonder, he may be the most popular recording artist in the world right now, but the competition comes from other Canadians like Drake, like The Weeknd. But great way to celebrate. My toes were tapping, Justin. I have to admit to that. Hey, it's time now for this week's Quote of the Week. This one courtesy of PJ O'Rourke, who gets back to our major theme earlier on today, or that least debate that goes on. He says in quotes, "Collectivism doesn't work because it's based on a faulty economic premise. There is no such thing as a person's fair share of wealth. The gross national product is not a pizza that must be carefully divided, because if I get too many pieces or slices, it means you have to eat the box. The economy is expandable and, in any practical sense, limitless." Very pleased to welcome back to the show Jack Crooks, Black Swan Trading, blackswantrading.com. Jack, great to have you with us. First of all, I do appreciate you finding time on the weekend. You know, it's fascinating, this environment. We're just describing it a little bit earlier. I mean, you've got all this central bank manipulation, now talk of raising interest rates in Europe. You watch the euro go up, having a nice upward run at this point. And I'm just wondering, what's the first context you look at, approaching these markets at this point?
It would have to be yield, Mike. First, let me say thanks for having me. I appreciate it being back. Yield is really what we look at. You know, we track the two-year yield differentials on all the currencies against the U.S. dollar, and it seems, you know, that a pretty good indicator over the intermediate term. And when you see a currency move, sometimes it's random to a large degree, and there's a lot of randomness in all markets, but especially currencies, because they're so news-driven. But when you see a currency start moving along with a yield differential starting to improve at the same time, you know, with just a qualitative sense of background sentiment starting to change, that's when you kind of stand up and say, hey, maybe something's changing here. But yield is kind of the first thing, the first driver that we tend to look at.
Well, you've had a great stretch here of some real winning calls for your subscribers, and I'll tell people, go to blackswantrading.com for that. What's interesting you in the market right now?
Whether or not, and I think as you just alluded to, whether or not all this central bank talk, this aggressiveness that just kind of seemed to come out of the blue overnight, the Canadian Central Bank has been, you know, very optimistic of late. Obviously, the speech last week from Draghi was, or at least early in the week, was very powerful and a surprise to the market. And that was followed up by, again, more at least rate optimism as opposed to economic optimism from the Bank of England. So either these guys are all getting together and just kind of talking their book, trying to, you know, change expectations on the global economy in terms of growth. Or they really are seeing something underneath the surface that's starting to gen up, you know, a real broad-based recovery, as the Bank of Canada talked about for Canada and as Draghi is talking about for Europe. So that really does change the game on rates and really does could lead to a whole different environment, you know, a real change in all asset markets, and especially currencies.
But I think that's the point you're making. I want everyone to hear very clearly that so much of the asset price has been created by those record low rates. Some of it's comparative, like I can't get a return. Individuals understand this right at their local level. I can't get a return out of my savings account, ergo I'm buying something else and I'm pushing that price up. So as you say, we're talking something sea change like. I mean, I'm not over hyping it by saying that this could be really fundamental and it will affect all of us, whether you're sitting in Canada and there's been a housing price boom in certain areas like Vancouver and Toronto. Hey, come on, heck of a lot of that is spurred by record low interest rates. But prices of stocks, because people feel there's no alternative getting into the bond market. So this is really a key point you're making.
Yeah, it's huge, Mike. You're right. This could be a kind of that sea change. Obviously, we'll have to wait and see. You know, a few days doesn't make a trend, but the reaction to in these interest rate markets, it's been pretty stunning over the last few days. And, once you finally have yield starting to compete with other asset markets, that whole thing, of discounting future cash flows changes in a big way, especially on the stock market. All of a sudden stocks are getting some competition from bonds, even if it's at the margin, even if there's a little bit of change of money flow back into cash or into, other, medium term or longer term fixed income wouldn't be the place. But, you just start to see a shift in the competition, at least on the low end, for some yield for a change, as opposed to buying a dividend stock that you would normally do. Or, as you said, just look for growth. So it's kind of a real tug of war here going on at the moment. It doesn't this doesn't mean that the game's over in the stock market, but it does mean that you got to be careful that the liquidity, liquidity pumps from all the central banks may be slowing down in a big way.
But you know what I find tough about this is, what do we have, about 9,000 false alarms? Like in Canada, my goodness gracious, how long have they been talking about rates are going up in the next 18 months? You know what I mean? And then all of a sudden
exactly
they presto
right.
down. I mean, I don't trust these guys.
Yeah, that's what I said. I'm not sure if you can believe, that they're just kind of talking a good game here to try and change the sentiment, because as we know, a lot of asset markets and just a lot of economic action is driven by, consumer sentiment, the perspective, what is your view? What's the bias, and a positive bias can actually, make some positive changes in the real economy driven by money flow. And, it almost looks like, that the way they've all done this in a coordinated way. So you're right to be suspicious. I am too. And so that's why I said, I think we have to see how this plays out over the next couple of weeks.
I mean, it's always dangerous to oversimplify, but I'm looking at the relationships when you look at like the dollar and U.S. dollar and interest rates and then the gold prices and all of this, because the ripple effect will be huge. And am I oversimplifying for looking for that kind of a simplistic relationship? I mean, will this put the cap on gold prices, for example? Why? Because higher interest rates will attract currency money, as you say, and maybe into a cash market, into a treasury bill, that kind of stuff. Or is it a reflection of, that they think there's going to be inflationary pressure? So I'm not sure where to go with that.
Yeah, I don't think you're oversimplifying at all. And I think the more you can try and simplify in markets to make a yes or no decision, the better off you are, because they're so complex and we can never, bring in all the knowledge that's out there. But we can look at just some basic indicators. We put a chart up, in fact, yesterday, we sent to our subscribers yesterday, we put it on our blog today, a weekly chart of gold against a weekly chart of U.S. 10-year bond futures. And it's amazing how closely they track one another, and which means that if 10-year bonds go down in price, which means yields are going up, gold is going to follow. And we're seeing this today. We're seeing that constant relationship being held: higher interest rates, lower gold prices. And we're back to the idea of competition, on the yield side. Gold's, going to get some competition because it doesn't pay a yield. And also it's in an environment in which you're starting to see some optimism in the global economy. So you're not only seeing these interest rates go up, but at the same time, I think you're also seeing less risk, per se. So gold is kind of losing that risk premium and losing the yield competition at the same time. So it makes some sense.
I'm sitting here, I'm fascinated listening, and I keep coming back to, man, if we have been in an environment since the credit crisis of ever lower interest rates, record lows in interest rates. And if that environment is changing, everything's got to go with it. Everything's going to change.
I think that's absolutely right. The question I think that you nailed is whether or not we do see some inflation in this market for a change, or at least rolling into the real economy and prices. And to me, that may be the factor that may stop this near-term freight train at the moment. We don't know yet. We saw some higher than expected inflation numbers out of Germany. But it's one of those things, you're so stuck in a rut. Deflationary pressures. And as we know, Mike, we've watched over the years many of these cycles. And these things seem to just shift on a dime sometimes. Sentiment just all of a sudden, boom, there's a day almost that you can just recognize it, or at least see it, and you're not sure what it means. But in retrospect, you go back and say, wow, that was a very quick sentiment shift. And we've seen that again and again in markets. And we may be seeing it here.
I'm talking with Jack Crooks, BlackSwanTrading.com, BlackSwanTrading.com. I got to take a break, but when I come back, I'm going to share with you one of the best pieces of advice I ever got, and it came from Jack Crooks about investments, and I'll tell you about that when we come right back on the Money Talks Network. It's a beautiful day, and I can't stop myself from smiling. If I drink him, then I'm buying. Well, that is a fun Canada Day song with Michael Bublé. We had Brian Adams a little bit ago. He was from North Vancouver. This is also in the Burnaby, Vancouver area. So, as I say, great stuff. But great stuff with Jack Crooks here. Before the break, I said, I'm going to share with you a piece of advice that Jack gave me quite a few years ago now, and I've been a big beneficiary of it. And it was really interesting. One of the things when you're involved in the markets like this, and I mean, I have an unbelievable amount of information that sort of bangs around my skull. And sometimes it's been to my detriment because I haven't taken action because I can consider this, consider that. Well, Jack pulled me aside and said, you know what? What you got to understand is that that information all may be valid, but the market is not focusing on it at that time. You've got to identify what information that the market is focusing on. So, Jack, let me say thanks for that advice, by the way. And within the context of what we're saying is, it's very clear that the market loves central bank action.
Yes, it does, and it's quite surprising to me, to tell you the truth, to see the way these markets have react. Because you say to yourself, like you said, because I have this other stuff rushing around in my head, you know, what has changed? You know, especially something like the UK economy. What has changed? Political risk is still massively high. The economy is still in trouble. There's, you know, some background talk of raising interest rates on inflation, but that hasn't proven itself. But boom, it doesn't really matter. The perception now is that you have a currency running with rate differentials starting to improve at the same time. And Mr. Market can just validate itself with those perceptions and keep, you know, and create one of those self-reinforcing circles. So you got to be careful here to try and say, hey, this is reality, but the reality really is prices, as we all know. That's reality. Not talking about what Mr. Market, but just listening to what Mr. Market does.
I just think it's an easy thing to do. Yeah, it's so key, though. I mean, as I say, that piece of advice really helped me to pull back and start and say, okay, well, what's the market caring about right now, not what Mike Campbell cares about or thinks the market should care about. That's probably a better put, actually. And that's a recipe, by the way. When I think the market should react the way I think it should, you know, my goodness gracious, you should be paying attention to what Mike Campbell says, I lose money. You know, the market doesn't care what I think. So let me ask you, what areas do you think are promising right now in the market? Obviously, people have different circumstances, but if you said, hey, I'm focusing right here, right now.
Outside currencies, we're obviously long yields. We do an ETF service, and yesterday afternoon we got our guys short the TLT or long the TBF, I think it was, expecting these yields to run. So I think they could run. We're also looking to go short gold because of exactly what we talked about. If the interest rates go up, gold's probably going to, you know, come down. And this bull market that we anticipated in gold is starting to fade, because not only do you have interest rates going up, you also have the dollar that may be now technically in bear market territory. And if the dollar is in bear market territory, and you take a look at some of these weekly charts and some of these currencies like the Norwegian krone or the Swedish krona, those things look incredibly promising for a long-term trade if we are seeing a sea change here and money flow back into Europe on rising interest rate differentials and the currencies. So there's some really interesting plays out there long term if we are seeing that sea change that you talked about. And as I said, those kind of currencies like that look good to me. And the other ones would be, obviously the euro, which everybody's kind of on to here. But we're watching for some type of breakout in the Australian dollar to try and confirm that the U.S. dollar is in, kind of bear market territory. Because, again, you look at some of those commodity currencies, and they have been absolutely destroyed, as you know, Mike. So there's a lot of interesting longer-term plays that as this continues, we're going to just be nipping away and trying to position into.
Well, as you say, it's an absolutely fascinating time in the marketplace. And, it's going to ruin your July 4th, by the way, Mark, because you're going to have to be watching everything instead, in the next while. No summer vacation for you. So, so go ahead.
Hey, Mike, I just meant to add one thing that I forgot. You know, many years ago, it was always the yen carry trade,
Mm-hmm.
And, when you reflect on just the central bank's comments the other day you got to just reflect on the Bank of Japan. They were very dour, very downbeat, meaning they're not going to change their policies whatsoever. So if you look at the price action in the yen, it's even weaker than the U.S. dollar. So we could get back in one of those, massive yen carry trade moves in which the yen weakens, considerably here. So that's another thing that's on our radar screen.
Really interesting stuff. Jack, I want to thank you for taking time, but I want to tell people also, go to blackswantrading.com, blackswantrading.com. Jack writes a blog there. It's free to you to use. But as I say, he's been on a real hot streak. So I appreciate you finding time. You're in demand, and we appreciate that you find time for us on Money Talks.
It's always a pleasure for me, Mike. Thanks for having me.
Great stuff. I've got coming up, by the way, I've got my shocking stat, which is one that I'm telling you, you will not be able to comprehend the stat I'm about to give you. I've got a Goofy Award, All Canada Day. I got Ozzie Jurek coming up. Looking forward to that. And I've got, Ozzie, by the way, has got an interesting stat about how you can tell when real estate prices are about to get hotter, or at least demand is about to increase. And he's got a stat that I will bet you nobody's heard of or thought about here on our audience, and it will be a great benefit. So Victor Dare, I'll get his take on a lot of these things. But in the meantime, let me just tell you this. If you go to moneytalks.net, you can click on and get our free email service. Moneytalks.net, you can get the free email service. As I say, it's right there for you. And I'll give you an example, though. Right now, what we're offering or giving is I'm always wanting people to do better at this stuff. So we've got our How to Trade video, how to read charts and trade with that. I did that with Tyler Bullhorn, and I was just thinking of some of the stuff we recommended or Tyler's recommended through those tools. That's what you're learning, is these specific tools. I remember he did Catalyst Pharma. That was right out of that, which is up 77%, in about 3 months here. Vox International up 33%, and I think that was on April 24th this year. Corindus Vascular Robotics up 38%. That was even later than that. But it comes from having the right tools. And that's why I say I wanted to make it available to everybody there. So just go to moneytalks.net. Obviously, you get our daily updates there, and you can get the business comment. If you're on vacation this year, no need to miss anything. Just go to moneytalks.net, and you can pick up the daily business comment. You can pick up Money Talks. You can re-listen to any segment of the show you want. So I hope you get into the habit of that, especially even if you're on vacation. What a great way to fall asleep to the dulcet tones of my own voice. But we want you to do all that. So just go to moneytalks.net and sign up for the free email service. In the meantime, I'll take a break. Come back. I got a shocker for you. Stay with us.
Call me on my cell phone. Late night when you need my love. Call me on my cell phone. Late night when you need my love. And I know when that hotline bling.
You saw him, you saw Drake. He was hosting the NBA Awards, the first annual NBA Awards. He did a good job, too, by the way. I liked what he had to say, but anyways, that's Drake, another Canadian superstar, absolutely superstar, who's out there in the circuit. I mean, this guy is making a fortune. I think he was number 4 on the Forbes list of top earning entertainment people. That should have been a shocking stat itself, but here we go. Time now for this week's shocking stat. And this is a number so big that will make your head spin. Actually, it's incomprehensible, literally. It's incomprehensible to the human brain. I'm talking about the growth in global debt. So are you ready? Here's the number. Global debt is now $2.17 trillion. That's thanks, by the way, the Institute of International Finance put out that number. I got to add also, you know, one of the main goals we do on Money Talks is to protect you from the fallout of that kind of debt escalation. I think we've done a fine job so far. But the result of this, you know, record low interest rates around the world, you know, people, companies, government have all taken advantage of this massive manipulation by central banks, has been the escalation of asset prices. I mean, you look at the real estate market, a huge chunk of the real estate market has been supported by record lows. It always kills me when people say, I want someone, government to do something about real estate. I said, my goodness gracious, they already have. They are the big reason that we've had this escalation in the real estate market to such a degree that now the government wants to slow it down. But it's worldwide global debt that worries me. Global debt now amounts to 327% of the world's annual economic income. But now what? That's the big thing. I just talked with Mike Levy about that earlier. We're looking at rising interest rates in Europe, in the U.S., in Canada. And I'll tell you, that impact on interest rate expenses is going to be huge. Especially when governments come to roll over the debt. They've had a bond that's been out there at, say, 3%, and they have to roll over in a new debt environment. I mean, this is when I think the risk is going to come home to roost. But here's the point. There are always consequences to a massive debt buildup, whether it's you personally, whether it's governments, whether it's companies. Debt always adds to deflationary pressure. It always acts like a drag on future economic growth. And it can threaten the economic and social stability of nations. I mean, look what happened in Europe in the first leg of that sovereign debt crisis. People still don't seem to appreciate the devastation that caused in many parts of southern Europe, but especially in Greece. So there will be consequences. And that's the theme of this show. It's been the theme since 2014, is welcome to the age of consequences. And I'll tell you, that level of debt buildup absolutely has consequences. Hey, I want to remind you, I've got a Goofy Award coming up in just a few minutes, but I want to thank, you know, several of our regular listeners, Tim Callen, Megan Darker joining us. I appreciate all the help we got with Special Olympics over the last little bit here. Marion Lockheed, Petra Hermans, John Edwards, Andrew Rulin, as I said earlier on the show, Mike Levy helped us out, so did Victor and Ozzy, but so many of our listeners stepped up to the plate. I appreciate Dwayne Eagle listening to us on a regular basis, and Ryan Berry and David Janin. Anyways, all of you, I appreciate you being part of us on Money Talks, and I appreciate the comments, the feedback. I appreciate that they go to moneytalks.net, but also go to our Facebook page, Michael Campbell's Money Talks. That's where we can update you on a daily basis, because as you heard from Jack Crooks, you know, things are hopping out there, and you got to stay on top of it. I'll take a break. I'll come back. Ozzy Jurek, lots to talk about, including, though, this little way he looks at, one stat that he looks at that tells him a very major indicator of where real estate prices are going. And I'll tell you, no one else is going to tell you that piece of information. Plus, Victor Adair, the latest on the markets, and a great Goofy Award. All of that coming your way. Stay with us. Oh, that's Joni Mitchell. That's Big Yellow Taxi. I think one of Canada's absolute musical treasures, a pioneer in many areas. I remember hearing Graham Nash talk about her back a number of years, saying she joined them. There was a little community in, I think it was outside of Los Angeles, And they used to all play Graham Nash and Neil Young would drop by, but certainly David Crosby, that kind of person. And then Joni Mitchell showed up and they all felt like, gee, do I know how to play guitar? Do I know how to sing? That's how good she was. But she's Canadian, and it's Canada Day, so we're celebrating the Canadian artists that have done so well throughout the world representing Canada. But speaking of that, I got Ozzie Jurek on the line. Happy Canada Day, Ozzie, by the way. Appreciate you taking time.
Happy Canada Day to you, and a big one it is, 150 years. Can you imagine?
I sure can. I remember when the first one was. That's how old I am, Ozzie. Okay. I've been hyping this a little bit, but I love this. It was fascinating when you mentioned this to me as one of the indicators that you keep an eye on, and that is you're checking out where the U-Haul trucks go.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. They have statistics going back, of course, for 20 years, and they are the largest moving company, really, in North America, and they're dealing essentially with the middle-class consumer, like you and me. You know, the guy that just starts out uses his car, and the very fancy mover uses the very fancy moving companies, but the average working population goes with U-Haul. And since we believe that values go where people go, and they usually go where the jobs are, we look at these numbers. And an interesting thing this year, Mike, is you wouldn't think who's number two. It's Calgary.
That is interesting. You're absolutely, that wouldn't be the first thing that jumps up, because we know that their market, you know, certainly had a real downturn after the oil price drop, et cetera, et cetera. But what does that tell you then? Does that tell you that, hey, maybe we're going to get more demand out of the Calgary market, residential or commercial?
Well, when you take a look, number one is still, of course, Toronto, because that's where the jobs are. But Vancouver is number seven, and Victoria, goodness gracious, is Victoria. To me, it shows the average Canadian actually looks for a good house to live in that he can afford, or a good condo, and a reasonable market of jobs. I mean, the office market is a disaster in downtown Calgary, but that is essentially for the owners of the market. There's a lot of vacancies. But for the average person, Vancouver is not necessarily going to attract me if I have a regular job. I mean, I can't afford a house. You know, it's expensive. Victoria is the same. What I thought was interesting, that Calgary is ahead of Montreal, Edmonton, Ottawa, London, Hamilton, Kitchener, and then again, number 10, Victoria. And so, hey, maybe the U-Haul statistics show something that is interesting for Calgarians.
You know, and one of the things I think, and again, this is me, I'm not going to put words into Ozzie's mouth, but I still think that this, I'm looking for another drop in the oil prices, you know, maybe a sharp drop, yeah. But that to me is going to ring a bell, that may be also a time to look at Calgary as an investment for real estate people. I mean, I'm just thinking that will be the last drop we'll see in oil, and everything's getting a lot rosier at that point.
Well, and certainly for us as investors, we look at Calgary and Edmonton. We've always loved them. And I think there's, just like in oil, if oil goes down to $30, there'll be a glorious buying opportunity if you're a stock market guy or gal. And I think there'll be a glorious real estate opportunity as well.
I just wanted to know, what happened to those U-Haul numbers, like, you know, in the downturn in 2015, for example?
Well, 2015, Calgary is still down from 2015, about 10.5%. So they had more people arriving in that time. So it got affected, but I'm just surprised that we're still having so many people moving there.
Okay, now look, I'm changing gears on you for a sec, a little out of left field. I was looking at something this week. You know, I'm at an age, Ozzie, that said, it depending where I lived, I'll live longer in certain areas.
Yeah, it's funny. We always think that it's how much money you make, or it's your genes, Ozzy. It's your genes. But you know what? Just move to BC and you live longer than anywhere else in Canada. The numbers come from StatsCan and the CIA. Not that's not the CIA in the States. It's
yes.
The Canadian Institute of Actuaries, right? So the Canadians of Actuaries, and they found that we live the longest. Once we reach 65, on average, we live another 19.7 years. So, Mike, you and I have a ways to go, at least a couple of years.
Well, and the other thing that you've just made a rationale for money talks, because one of the things we have to do is, you know, we're going to live longer in retirement. We're going to have less help from government. So you got to do it yourself. So you're saying if I make it to 65, then I'm looking at 85 pretty clearly.
Yeah, I wasn't trying to indicate you're already over 65. No, I'm just trying to do it.
Well, you'd be right if you said that, but I'm just not saying it right now.
But, you know, it's funny. We are in Canada, you know, and the whole world takes a look at us, and we're saying we're nice people, and we're somewhat strange. Harry Dent, by the way, came out yesterday and said, Canadians have lost their ever-loving minds. And he says our real estate market is in the, listen to this, final orgasm phase of the bubble. You know, I mean, and of course, he's been saying this for 7 years, and so have, you know, Garth Turner in 2012 thought we were all idiots. But the point is that, you know, it isn't really how long you live or what, but it's how well you have lived. I mean, if you're going to eat that sugary ice cream cone, enjoy it. Live happily. I mean, I say in my speeches, have a bubble bath. We Canadians are always running around in showers. No, have a bubble bath. Enjoy your life. Hey, and this weekend, dive naked in the lake together with your beloved.
Boy, that is a visual I'm just going to set aside for our listening audience. Thanks for ruining Canada Day, Ozzy. Hey, I got to ask you this. Where's the place you live that has the least lifespan? Like, I'm going to die early if I go there.
Well, it's none of it. It's about 14.6 years. And, you know, in Atlantic Canada, it's almost, you know, 2 years shorter, too, at around 17.6 years. But the key is this, actually in Canada, if you compare it to the rest of the world, we have a very long lifespan, so we might as well enjoy ourselves.
You got a hot property for me to finish off?
Yeah, we have something different. In Harrison Hot Spring, the Naismith Inn and Heritage House, which was named after the Colonel Andrew Naismith, the 7 guest suites, cabins, a large 3,500 square foot owner residence, 1 acre of river frontage, and you can build another 40 units there on at $1.9 million.
That's kind of interesting. Yeah, like Bob Newhart had a show. His second big television hit was him owning an inn at a place like Harrison Hot Springs. So that may be my future right there. 1.988 for 7 guest suites. My goodness, cabins. You can build more. You got a house. Oh, my goodness. Something to think about for the rest of Canada Day for me, Ozzy. In the meantime, you go out and enjoy yourself. Oh, and by the way, thank you very much for your support and coming and supporting the Special Olympians. And I'll just have a little note I'll pass on to you. You're forgiven for your golf, okay? You're forgiven.
I know. And this time, you know, people always ask me, is Michael just kidding you? Are you really a good golfer? No, he's not kidding.
Nope.
I'm not kidding.
Pooped
at the game yesterday.
Okay. Have a great day. Appreciate it. I'll take a break. I'll come back. Victor Adair, live from the trading desk in a Goofy Award. Happy Canada Day. Carly Rae Jepsen, a billion people have downloaded that song or watched it on YouTube, but not Victor Adair. When I first talked to Victor about Carly Rae Jepsen, Canadian, Lower Mainland, talked to him about this is the biggest artist hit in the world right now. He said, who's that? But he joins me on the line right now because he's so focused on the markets. Victor?
Thanks for the intro, Mike.
Yeah, okay, let me just very quickly fire at you here. That we've been talking earlier about interest rates, and I know that you've been warning our audience about the central bank action. So I want a very quick take from you on it.
Well, I guess in a word, the central banks are back. All of a sudden, they're really important to the markets, whereas they're for several months, you know, they went away with all the political theater going on, and now they're back, and they're back big and having a big impact on markets. Certainly, like the other guys, Jack and Mike, were talking about the central bank action. I think the key thing to me is that while the sentiment now is these other central banks, and read the European Central Bank, the UK Bank, the Bank of Canada, but not the Bank of Japan, that's a separate issue. These banks are now seeming to be signaling to the market they're going to be raising rates while the Fed, the market doesn't believe that the Fed's going to raise rates. So that divergence, which had made the American dollar so much stronger than the other currencies, among other things, has faded away in the market. So to get to the point, the thing that's really interesting to me is, what if the Fed does stick to their guns? What if the market's got it wrong about the Fed just going to be on hold while everybody else sort of catches up to them? That's the market is not pricing that in at the moment, that's for sure.
And it's always important to see where that risk is. And I mean, because if that happened, then of course, then you'd reverse these kind of currency reactions that we've had over the last bit, including the Canadian dollar. I mean, I've been impressed that the dollar's rallied despite weak oil, but maybe that puts the lid on it.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, the Canadian dollars had, say, three main functions. One is the price of oil. One is the two-year interest rate spread with the United States. And the third has been the general strength or weakness of the U.S. dollar. So many times on this show, I've said it's not about the Canadian dollar. It's about the U.S. dollar getting strong, Canada just standing still. So that I think what would happen is that if the Fed continues on the what they've said they're going to do, you know, if they're going to continue to raise interest rates, then the fall off in the U.S. dollar and that rise in other currencies is in danger of reversing. And certainly, I think U.S. interest rates do go higher. They've been on a march to lower yields here the past few months. And the other one that's a bit of a wild card is if the U.S. is going to keep pushing interest rates higher, that all of this flood to new all-time highs in the U.S. stock market could get reversed as well.
Hey, one other thing, Vic, we're coming to, I mean, obviously we're July 1st today, but I mean, July 4th is coming up. This is a very quiet week in the market. Does that make you just sort of back off, you know, so you don't read what's happening quite as seriously as other times of the year because there's just not enough volume?
Typically, yes, because a lot of people are gone for the whole week next week. I mean, it's the 4th of July, it's Tuesday, so Monday's going to be a holiday. And if you're gone for Monday and Tuesday, why not take the whole week off, that sort of thing? But given that volatility has been so low across asset classes here the past several months, I think in less liquid conditions next week, we could have some fireworks. So I'm going to be sitting up and paying attention.
Well, I hope you then have a good weekend if you've got to be working so hard next week. But, Vic, thank you so much. And again, thank you for your support of Special Olympics.
Mike, well, thank you for everything you do, believe me. And thank you, Mike.
Okay, Victor Adair joining Canada Day, joining Ozzy Jurek, jumping naked into a lake. I don't know, but that's what Ozzy says. Time now for this week's Goofy Award. And by the way, Money Talks is brought to you by Solera Club. Solera Club is a royalty-based investment, meaning you get paid first. There are no fees attached to it, and it's in the technology sector. So for more information, go to SoleraClub.com. The centerpiece of the $500 million government extravaganza that they're spending on Canada Day is the big shindig on Parliament Hill, celebrating, of course, 150 years. It's a chance to celebrate Canadian culture, especially music. Officials are actually predicting up to 450,000 people could descend on Parliament Hill and the venues around the Capitol for the massive event. I was there last September, and they're spending a fortune there. Well, $500 million is a fortune. So who's the headliner on Canada Day? Is it Justin Bieber? Is it Celine Dion? Is it Sarah McLachlan? Nickelback? No, it's U2, the Irish rock band. I heard this, and I went, say what? Seriously, who thought this one up? Our program today has featured all of these fabulous Canadian artists. And who do they choose? U2? I mean, seriously, what the heck is happening? Maybe that's oh so Canadian. That's all the time we have. I hope you go out and have a fabulous Canada Day. If you're vacationing this year, please go to moneytalks.net to listen in. And thanks for listening. Have a fabulous day.